You are excellent. Excellent is your name. Excellent is your power. Blessed be your name, O God. We bless you this morning. For this is the day that you have made. We are glad. And we do rejoice. Lord, we thank you for the new day you are bringing upon the earth. Hallelujah. And we prophesy it's not going to be an age of wickedness. It's not going to be a new day of unrighteousness. But it shall be the day of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the day of the Lord that is birthing upon the earth. Hallelujah. For it's the day of the Lord. Even though it's a time of gloominess, of darkness. Yes, it is going to be the day and the time when you are going to bring forth your sons out of Zion. Hallelujah. For out of Zion the Lord will roar, will shine forth. Hallelujah. For the time has come for your people to burst forth. It is time, O God, for the strongholds to be taken down. Lord, we thank you for the strength you are ordering in Zion. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this new day. We subscribe to it. We speak to it. We hasten unto the day of the Lord. For it is a time when darkness will be judged. When all the princes and all the shipmasters and all that did profit by darkness will be put in hold. For he said an angel will come forth that will bind this devil, this great deceiver, and we will cast him into the pit for 1,000 years. Lord, we speak for that time. We speak to that time. We prepare unto that time. And Lord, we subscribe to it. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. For you said that they that know their God shall be strong and will do exploits. We receive that strength of the strong man. Even the lion of the tribe of Judah. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of strength that you are appointing unto us. We'll bless you, O God, for this time we'll glorify your name. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that the entrance of your word will bring light. It will bring life. We ask, Lord, that you will give bread to the eater, even fresh bread, and you might grant seed also for the sower, O God. Let your word be fruitful, be that which will do your will. Let it water our head. Let it water our soul, O God. Let it prepare our soul. Hallelujah. Let it make a straight path for the Lord, that the glory of the Lord might be seen, might be manifested, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Is it on interlinear? Can you put it on interlinear? So it says the protos Adam. Protos, well, this is we are a student community, so we can afford to be a little bit academic. because I want us to just go into the world to study. I want to talk about how to overcome darkness in the soul. How can we overcome darkness in the soul? Amen. And we're believing that the mind of Christ will minister to us. You know, there's a difference between the mind of Christ and the mind of man. Amen. So I believe that the mind of Christ has come to overshadow us and to feed us and to minister to us. Amen. So it says, the protos anthropos. And you know, anthropos means man. You know, so you study anthropology, you study everything about man. Anthropos. So protos, Robert was telling us the other day about prototype. Alright? That is, when you want to make a product, the first one you make is the prototype. You make it very, very good. Alright? Then every other one, comes after it. Okay, so that's the protos. Okay, but you see, Paul is giving us, he's drawing a picture in our minds. So that's the picture I want us to look at. So he says there is a first man. Alright, you call it a protos. Now, if there is a first man, if there is protos, then there must be the last. So he says, it is written, the protos Adam was made a living soul. Alright? And if you're a good student of the Bible, when you look at the word living, the fact that it qualifies soul with living means that there can be a dead soul. Is that correct? Good. So it says, the first Adam was made a living suki. So we will study, we will read some Greek and Hebrew, because you know you're students, so we want to study the Bible, we want to go a little bit. So suki, that's from where you have the word psychology, psych. Alright, psychology. It has to do, suki is Greek for everything about the mind. You know, and they went very far, but you see, they only looked at the mind, at the surface, at the logic. They used the mind of man, but you see, the mind is God. I mean, mind, everything about mind came from God. It's spiritual. You know, is the best thing that happened in the world. You know, by the way, God has a mind, so you know when you are talking about the mind, it is something very personal to God, because you have the mind of God, don't you? Amen. You're always looking for the mind of God, don't you? Don't you do that? Good. So there is the mind of God. You also have the mind of man. And of course, we know we have the mind of Christ. So Paul says, do you not know that you have the mind of Christ? Amen. So he's talking about this first man that was made. All right, you know that man. Adam, we will come to him. But remember, the reason why we are doing all this is we are talking about darkness. Okay, how can we overcome darkness? What is darkness? Amen. So we will try to, please, if I stray, make sure you bring me back. And that's what I want to do this morning. Then it says the word last come from, again, another Hebrew, Greek word, which means eschatos. Okay, that's from where you have eschatology. That means the things concerning the end time, the time of the end. Because if there is a beginning, then there must be an end. Alright, so it says, the eschatos Adam was made a zoopoi pneuma. That means, zoopoi means, you know, zoology. That's what I mean. That's from where you have zoology. Okay, you know, zoology has to do with things living. Alright? So it says this last Adam was made a living spirit. Okay, so what is he talking about? The first Adam was made a living soul. Okay, now, but this last Adam was made of a higher spiritual nature. Okay, so he calls it a living or quickening spirit. But use the word spiritual spirit, spiritual soul. I use the word spiritual soul for my own sake. It helps me to make the differentiation. So when you look at this verse, it gives us three groups of people. One is not mentioned, but it's implied. All right, the one that is not mentioned is the dead soul. So we have three types of soul on the board. Okay, we are familiar with living soul. It said the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or a spiritual soul. Okay, spiritual soul you won't find in the Bible, but that's just my own terminology. It helps me. So we can adopt it to help our understanding. But in between, something happened. All right? So the man was made a living soul, but something happened to him, and he became a dead soul. Amen. So it's like he retrogressed. He went back. Instead of going forward, he went backward, and he became a dead soul. Yeah, he became a dead soul. But that has not changed God's thought, God's plan for you. God's thought and God's plan for you is that you should be a spiritual soul. Amen. A living spirit, a quickening spirit. Amen. So, and remember, all this is working and happening in the context of man. You talk about Adam, man. So let's look at the two Adams. The first Adam, you know, Genesis. The second Adam, you also know, Matthew. All right. So the first Adam, he took the clay, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, manganese. What's all those metals? You know, is it 31? How many metals do you have now? Is it 31? I hear they have brought some new ones now in the metallic table. Okay? But all that, God took the earth and he breathed into it. So God came into man. So when you talk about Adam, you must know and you must understand, and the devil understands that it is God coming into the ground. God coming into a natural, earthly situation. So if you're a Nigerian, that is Adam. God wants to come to you. Amen. If you are, whatever you are, the nature of your life, whatever your condition, if you are poor, if you are rich, if you are tall, whatever you are, that is the stuff God works with. Okay, so God took the earth. Alright, Genesis 2:7. And he said he breathed onto the earth, and man became a living soul. Okay, so let's go to Matthew. God took he took the earth, isn't it also? He came into Mary and breathed into Mary also. And there was a seed formed. And that seed was multiplied, was brought forth. But it so happens that the process in Genesis and the process in Matthew are different, is it not? But it hasn't changed God's program. The first one, God just brought him forth, breathed into him, formed him, gave life to him, and he began to walk. And he was man. Alright, the other one, he said, fine, I'm going to do it a little bit differently. He also formed the seed, put it in a womb. Okay, this was a physical womb. And also gave it life, and it came forth. And began to live amongst us. And you call him Jesus Christ. Amen. So the second one was a continuation of what God was doing in Genesis. God was showing that it is possible to be godly, to be a son of God. He was showing us an example. So what we are talking about is real. We're not just talking about theory. We're talking about realness. That God can dwell in man. Amen. And we are coming into that time on the earth when the sons of God will be multiplied all over the place. Amen. You understand? So that has always been in the concept of God. God in man. Alright? So Christ is the Son of God. Alright? But the Son of God is a many-membered body. He says he didn't just think it was good enough to be that Son of God alone. So God expanded it. That the sonship of God, of the sons of God, or that concept of God called Christ, will be a many-membered body. Many sons. He will bring many sons to glory. Amen. So, in God's program, God is looking for sons. God is not looking for people who are out of a denomination. So, God is not really interested in the denomination or church. Those are platforms to help to bring God's mind into being. Amen. So, right from the foundation of time, God always wanted to have sons. Right from the foundation of time, God proposed that there will be a group of people called Christ. And that one man will be the head of the, will be the chief man of this group. And his name will be Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about being like God, behaving like God, talking like God. But it so happens that it's a little bit difficult for us because something happened between the first Adam and the last Adam. Amen. So God allowed it so that you and I can have a testimony. Amen. God is making us co-partaker. You know, brother was talking about being a co-laborer. Alright? We are working with God to... I notice some people are already sleeping. It's so early in the day. You know, when I'm here, I'm seeing you. I'll call your name if you are sleeping. You know, I'm your brother. I'm not your brother. Yeah, so I can just call you and then say praise the Lord. Then you. So if you feel like sleeping, you can just go to the back. You can't go out, go to the back and stand. Amen. Hello, because we're talking about being like Christ today. We want to be partakers of Christ. So this verse is talking about Adam. And Adam is that man who is the dwelling place of God. Amen. God breathed into him. But God does not breathe, but God told us. He doesn't breathe in the sense. He actually poured himself into Adam. Hallelujah. Or put it the other way, God came down to Adam. God just came into Adam. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand, to in your mind, because your mind is important in this matter. In your mind to understand who you are. Amen. This is more than being a doctor or a lawyer. It's good to be those things. For you to be a tent maker. When you go to school, it's to enable you you have a tent making business so that you can take care of business, you know, natural business. But you see, that's not the purpose of why God made you. Yes, you've gone to school, you are going to school. You're going to university to learn to be a lawyer, whatever it is. But that is not the object. Why God made you is so that you will have a testimony. Amen. That you are among those who change their nature. Amen. Say, you're not answering me now. Amen. You are among those who change their nature. from darkness, being a dead soul, you became a living soul, and you became a spiritual soul. Amen. You went all the way. How many people want to go all the way? I just want to be a born again and enjoy. You know, when we were singing that song, "You are wonderful, you wanted to fly." I flew away. I went somewhere else. I went to heaven. Amen. But you see, that's not all the business. There is something, there is a serious business we have to do. And today, many Christians do not have a focus. They don't have a vision. And the Bible said that where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. That means they are wandering around. There is no purpose for their life. Amen. You don't have a purpose in life. How many of you have a purpose in life? What's your purpose? You want to be a doctor. What's a very poor purpose? Well, on this natural level, yes, you need it. Because it can put bread on your table, is it not? But it's not. But Paul said that the kingdom of God is more than meat and drink. Is that not what he says? It's a meat for the belly. The belly for meat. God will destroy both the belly and the meat. Because that's not the purpose. Hallelujah. So we are getting wiser. We are beginning to understand who we are, why He has called us. And that's why we brought you into this camp, for you to know, have a purpose in life. Amen. That as a believer, God wants you to have a testimony of resurrection. A people who were once dead, who were not a people, they have now become the people of God. The people who didn't know God, now they know God. Amen. What a wonderful story. And I want to be part of it. I don't know about you, but you have to make up your mind. What do you really want? What do you really want? You want money? Fine. Those who are millionaires, they commit suicide and they die. That those who went before you and they had all the money in the world, they're dead. Money could not satisfy them. Don't you understand? So, what is it you want? Paul said, I will encourage you to covet the more excellent things. Hallelujah. And to covet the more excellent thing is to be a partaker of Christ. It's the best. There is nothing that can be compared to it. Paul said that he has he has made all things to be like what? To be of no value, that he might win or he might obtain the excellency of Christ. You don't know that scripture? Paul said that he might be a partaker of what I'm talking about. He has made all things like dung. That is, he was a Jew, say, I'm no longer a Jew. He was a lawyer, say, I'm no longer a lawyer. He said, all things that were gained to me are counted but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anything better than Christ? Is there anything better? So if it's not better, then you should that should be your goal, to be a partaker of Christ. Hallelujah. And it's not a group experience, it's an individual experience. Amen. But when you become a partaker, you'll find many other people who are also partakers. So you are first an individual partaker, then you can become a corporate partaker. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In all this, we have not mentioned church or denomination. Because it's not there. So if church or denomination is your focus, then change, repent. Get born again, again. I thought you would say amen. 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 Oh yes, get born again, again. If denomination or group or church is your focus, you lost it. Hallelujah. We are talking about Christ. Those group of men that will have the fullness of God, like Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are talking about that group. But you see, God, this was what God had in mind. He had this beautiful picture that I will have a group of men. I will fill them. The Bible said that he is the one that filleth all things in all. You know, man is a vessel. And the best vessel God made is the soul. Amen. He says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose his soul? That means one soul is bigger. By the way, do you not have a universe inside your soul? That is, the world inside your soul is bigger than the world outside. How can that be? But that is true. Amen. Amen. If not, how can God dwell in you? God dwells in you. That means within you is so much capacity. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So how can you equate the world to you? You have more value. Hallelujah. Amen. So, between this first Adam and the last Adam, something happened. And that's what we want to talk about, because we must put that in context. Because you need to know what you are fighting. For a long time, we have not known what we were fighting. We didn't know what we were dealing with. And because of it, Paul says, I do not beat about the bush. I run to win. I have a purpose. You see, you must run to have a purpose. You must run to win. If not, you miss. Hallelujah. And many have made a shipwreck because they did not have a goal. They did not properly divide or discern the word of God. Amen. So let's read Ephesians 4 to find out what happened. Something happened. Ephesians 4. From 17. He said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do the Gentiles... Do you know what is Gentiles? Eh? Okay, let's understand. Let's get it. Can you give us interlinear? Okay, yes. So this is the word translated Gentiles. It's the Greek word ethnos. Ethnos. It's from where they got that word, ethnic. Yes. It's from the word ethnos. You mean groups. It means a group of people who have the same characteristic. Is that not what he's saying? Huh? You say a race or as of the same habit. Huh? For example, a tribe. Especially a foreign one. Well, to the Jews, anyone who was not a Jew was a Gentile. They called it Gentile. In fact, the Greeks would say you're a barbarian. So when Paul came, when they said, what does this barbarians? So Greeks called every other person a barbarian. Okay? And then the Romans, the Jewish people, called every other person who was not a Jew, goyim. They said, you are a Gentile. You didn't know God. However, that word speaks of a group of people who have the same characteristics, who behave in the same manner. So you can group them and say, yes, that is a tribe. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. You know, Nigerians speak the same way. So we are a group of people. We are a tribe. Okay, even among Nigerians, you see some people who also have a peculiar behavior. You say they are Ijaw people. Ukwere. Or they are what? Okreka or Ndoki or whatever title. But you see, that is of no use to us. It really doesn't make any meaning to us. So we have to make it, customize it, make it more meaningful to us. So let's spiritualize it. Amen. So if you want to spiritualize it, then you bring it to the level of soul. Okay? So when you talk about tribe, you're talking about different types of soul. Is that correct? Am I allowed to do that? Eh? Yes. So we're talking about a different types of souls. Eh? A group of souls who behave in a particular way. For example, dead soul. Alright? Dead soul is a tribe. Living soul is another tribe. Then there is the real tribe I want to belong to. What's that one? Zion. Amen. Zion is that tribe of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be in that tribe. Amen. So he's saying here, okay, so can we go back? He's saying that the Gentiles, that they walk in a particular way. And how do they walk? They walk what? No, it's their mind. You see, your mind is what determines what you do. Is that correct? If you agree, say praise the Lord. Anyway, even if you say praise the Lord or not, that is the truth. Whether you say it or not, that is the truth. Everything you did yesterday was because of your mind. Hallelujah. And the devil knows that. And that's what we want you to know today. Amen. Hallelujah. It says that the Gentiles, they walk in the vanity of their mind. Amen. So, it means that there is a lifestyle called vanity of mind. Is that correct? Is that correct? There's a lifestyle called vanity of the mind. Can somebody give me an example of somebody who walks in that type of lifestyle that you know? I know one that died recently. His name is Michael Jackson. Okay, maybe that's not a very good example. Let's look at contemporary. Can you think of contemporary people who walk in the vanity of their mind? Somebody who walks in the vanity of his mind. Okay, what does vanity mean? Okay, so let's try and break it down. What does vanity mean? To be vain. Okay, she wants to tell her, what does vanity mean? Okay, she says to have someone who wants to have all the things in the world. That's vanity. Well, the English people will say that word, when they say somebody is vain, it means the person is empty. Empty. No substance. Amen. But I have a spiritual, I'm trying to develop a spiritual dictionary. So, spiritually for us, what will vanity mean? It means somebody who does not have the life of God. Somebody who does not have the life of God in his soul is vain. Alright? So can you touch on that word, vanity? Where is it? Yes, my therapist. Is it morally depraved? Okay, vanity. Alright, that's a very big word. I'm going to get to it. We'll look at the number of words today. We'll try and break it down. Because we are dealing with darkness. We must understand what is darkness. How can we overcome darkness? In the mind. In the soul. Hallelujah. So vanity means something that doesn't have worthless. It has no substance. But you see, what is the reference to that? The reference is that the person does not have the life of Christ. All right, in the sight of God is of no value. Amen. Something in the sight of God is of no value. It's vain. You know, it's vanity. Anyway, I just wanted to get you awake, so make sure you're not sleeping. Amen. Okay, so he said the Gentiles, they walk in the vanity of their mind. So that means someone who is a Gentile will know someone who is not born again. Somebody who has a dead soul. We will talk about the dead soul. We will break it down so that you understand. Amen. So let me draw a picture. Let's draw a picture. Maybe this one will be clearer. Okay, this is the Gentiles are found outside the tabernacle. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the Gentiles are those who are found outside the tabernacle. All right, so we can use this word also. We can say Egypt. All right, we can also say the world. All right. So how can we group this? Can we say darkness? Alright, so outside the tabernacle, what you have is darkness. Is that correct? So outside the tabernacle, you have darkness. Amen. And the Bible says that those who are outside the tabernacle, who live a life outside of the tabernacle, that they are ruled by their vain mind, vanity of mind. Vanity of the mind. So the big thing there is the mind. So, they are ruled by the mind. Okay, let's go a little bit further. In the tabernacle, you have a white fence. Is that correct? In the tabernacle, you have a white fence. So if you look at the tabernacle from far, you will see a white fence. So that is the kingdom of light. Amen. Is that correct? It's the kingdom of light. Every other thing outside is what? Darkness. Amen. But a very good student will see something else. What would you see? There's also darkness in the tabernacle. Is that correct? Oh, yes, there is. Because in the tabernacle, you have another building, which is actually divided into two. So you have the most holy place. Then you have the holy place. They have the outer court. Amen. The holy place and the most holy place were covered. Is that correct? It was covered. But there was an aspect that was not covered. Which part was not covered? The outer court was not covered. Okay? So when it was 12 o'clock during the day, the outer court is filled with light. Is that correct? Yes. Answer me now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Anyway, the faster you answer me, the better for us, because you know I'm now in charge. So if you do quick, we will finish quickly. If you don't do quick, we will take a break and continue. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't sleep here. Just get ready. So remember, we're just introducing. We're still trying to start. But this is very important. I want you to understand this, because we are talking about overcoming darkness in the soul. Very good. So, but when you look at this, by 12 noon, the sun is shining. Amen. And the tabernacle, even the outer court, is filled with light. But I hope you know, by the way, you also find tabernacle in the New Testament. Where do you have it? In Hebrews chapter 9. Okay, it is described very clearly. The book of Revelation is filled with tabernacle. Paul talks so much about the tabernacle. Jesus talks so much. Jesus said, "Do you not know that I am the tabernacle?" Amen. Is that what he said? The Bible said he spoke of the tabernacle of his body. So Jesus was a living, walking tabernacle. Amen. So the next time they disturb you, tell them, Jesus said, "I am the living, walking tabernacle." Paul said, "Do you not know that you are what? The tabernacle of God." Amen. Hallelujah. Good. So we are on right course. But when it is 6 o'clock in the day, something begins to happen in the outer court. What happens? Darkness begins to encroach. Alright? By the time it is 8 o'clock, it will be difficult to see any light. Amen. And as you go towards midnight, that place that was used to have light, is now bedded and covered over by darkness. Amen. So you can see why God says, "Do not stay in the outer court, because darkness is coming." All right, that's what the brother was reading in Revelation 11 when he was telling us, okay, about, he says, "Do not measure the outer court, because it's given over to what?" You see that Gentile? The Gentile is still talking about the mind, though. We are talking about the mind. So he's saying there will come a time when the mind of the world will encroach into the church, and the people of God in their mind will be overtaken by what? The Gentile mind. Amen. The worldly mind. So yesterday, brother was telling us, the things about lifestyle. So today, we as a people, we are struggling with the Gentile mind. A Gentile mindset. Alright, if you do not be dressed in a particular way, you are not it. You are not chic. You are not a happening young man. Amen. Well, the thing is the mindset. So if you want to overcome, you must first of all overcome in the mind. Amen. And remember, you have a door here called the gate. Then you have another one called the door. And then you have the veil to pass. Amen. And we are being told to flee. So this mind has a destination. Hallelujah. This mind has a destination. Amen. But if the mind doesn't go there, where is it going to? It will go to hell, but eventually the lake of fire. So this is fire. Huh? Yes, sir.
Could you not say that the mind contributes to and becomes a part of hell? It's not that it's just a soul in hell suffering, but it becomes a part of the hell that generates the environment of hell.
So Brother Boss is saying Can we not then say that it's not just that the mind goes to hell, but the mind itself becomes it puts on the nature of hell because it is propagating and generating hell. And that is true. Amen. Alright. That is really the reason why the devil went to the mind. Because it made the mind to become a generator, in fact, a propagator of darkness and hell and so on. We will come to that. Amen. So, you are not really doing anybody a favor. Hello? Okay. Oh, yes.
In Revelations where it says, listen. In Revelations where it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Amen. So he's saying, the scripture also says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire with every mind that has not made this way to the most holy place. Amen. Hello. You're not answering me. It's like, amen. It's not a choice. Well, it's a choice. All right. But I want you to understand that we are in serious business. All right. What is involved is not just God bless me. God shouldn't bless me. That is of no consequence to God. All right. Somebody talked about it. What is at stake is that mind. Where is that mind going to go? Is it going to go down to hell, or is it going to go up to be caught up in the realms of God? Now let's read the scripture. We'll come back to this. Let's look at an important scripture, Isaiah 55. Let's look at an important scripture, Isaiah 55. Exactly.
Not just become a part of the creation, but it would advance and enhance the continuation of creation beyond what we know.
Amen. So the brother is thinking ahead. Amen. But let's look at... Okay, no, he's saying, so it will mean that when God was creating man, what God had in mind was that the mind of man will be a part of the creation process of God, beyond just the individual, that in the ages to come, that man will be a partaker of Christ as the Son of God.
The totality of what that statement means.
Exactly means. Okay.
That is so.
Yes. Actually, what we are looking at, it says that Christ is the Son of God. All right. I'm putting it in context. Now, the Son of God is the second dimension of God. Okay. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, so Christ is the eternal Son of God. And Christ is a many-membered body made up of all human beings who have received the mind of Christ. And the chief of those men will be Jesus Christ.
The creation of God that was in his mind when he made man is not finished.
No.
At the base, at the end of the day, of where the Bible stops.
No.
So there is yet another creation.
Yes.
So in some respects, that would be like a fourth dimension.
Well, okay. Let's put it this way. You have eternity. then you have time, you have the Bible, then you have eternity. And the purpose of this was to bring man into this experience, and then man will continue as the Son of God in eternity. Amen. No, we'll bring it down.
So then, are you saying that there is yet? How do I put this? Is there yet an aspect of eternity that has yet to be?
Obviously, yes. Yes. That's what you know. We're actually getting ready for eternity. We are getting ready in time for eternity. Amen. So, God is without beginning and end. Amen. And Melchizedek is without beginning and end. But there is a time element of it. And that's where we are now. Okay. And that time element began in Genesis. Okay, time element began in Genesis and it will end in Revelation. And then eternity will continue. So, like Brother Bot is appreciating, it's so big for us right now. And because it is very, very, very big, sometimes we just say, well, it's too much for me, I don't want to talk about it. But Paul said, oh, how immeasurable is both the knowledge and the wisdom of God. See, how unsearchable are his thoughts and his ways past finding out. Amen. Amen. So you see why the devil is interested in you. Even though you say you are not important, the devil knows you are very important. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says we are wonderfully and fearfully made. But let's look at Isaiah 55. Come down to verse 7. Okay. It says, let the wicked man forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Again, we see another principle of the Gentile man, because it's unrighteous man with his thoughts. Alright? It says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, verse 8 and 9, I want you to pay attention. It says, for my thoughts, God has thoughts. Amen. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. So man has his own level of thought, of thinking. Alright? And when you and I go to school, what we are learning is man's thoughts. You know, man's ways of thinking. They divide it into different groups. They say one is biology. Another group of thought is called mathematics. Another one is called English. Another one is called medicine or lawyer, like this woman. Alright? And all those things are the thoughts of man. Amen. And he says, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we can do this. So this vanity, this mind, okay, which is carnal, God is bringing it into a place where the mind begins to ascend. Amen. Where the nature of my thought begins to change. The nature of my emotions and all those begin to change. And it is the plan of God that by the time what you call a most holy place is just English language to talk about a dimension of the mind that God wants your mind and my mind to come into. Amen. So, this is the context we are looking at. And this is what God wants you to come into. Now, if you are going to fight the devil, if we are going to fight the devil and overcome the devil, we must fight the devil from a higher dimension. Amen. Amen. If you want to win the devil, you must win him not on his own terms, but on your own terms. Brother George was teaching us, the devil fights you at the dimension of the body. That is his territory. Amen. If you want to win the devil, don't fight him at that level. Fight him from a higher dimension. The truth, the reason is that the devil is fighting you from your mind, but he makes you to think he's fighting you in the flesh. Amen. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back to Ephesians 4 to get a context. Ephesians 4, 17. Now, let's look at verse 18. We'll deal with 17 very well. Now, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. I mean, so many things. Paul is bringing. So let's try to break it down a little bit. So can we have the Talinia? Now, Paul is saying something happened to the mind. By the way, the mind has different dimensions. There are four main dimensions of the mind. One is understanding. Number two is knowledge. Number three is wisdom. And then number four is the conscience. I will write it. But let's get this. Okay, let me write it down to give up, because this is important. We're looking at the mind. All right. When you go to Proverbs, you see, and Psalms, you see all this. The first one part is knowledge. To know. How to know. Okay. The other one is understanding. The other one is wisdom. And then the last one is conscience. Within the mind, the conscience is the highest dimension, and that itself has other dimensions, but we're not going there today. Oh, this has gone off. All right. You say, having the understanding scotos. So, can you touch that scotizo? Say to obscure or darkness. So what is Paul saying to us? Paul said that darkness came into the mind of man. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
When Adam sinned, remember, Adam was a living soul, and God wanted him to become a spiritual soul. So Adam had two choices to make. Either he will partake of life, which was symbolized by the tree of life, or he will partake of darkness, which was symbolized by a mixture. A mixture of good and a mixture of evil. And that is really our problem. You know, darkness, we don't see darkness as it should be. Amen. Pardon? We don't see darkness the way we should. Now, look at what it says. It says darkness is obscure. That is something that is not easily apparent. It's not something that you can easily recognize. Amen. Okay, so who can define darkness for us? Can we get a scripture that defines darkness for us? Yes, no lie, but John says, if a man does not love his brother, what is it? Are we together? I'm not encouraged. If we are together, let's say amen. Don't keep quiet too much. Okay. John is describing for us. He says, if a man hates his brother, what is it? Because of darkness. Amen. So hatred is darkness. Amen. Can somebody have a righteous hatred? If someone cheats you, can you hate him? If someone has cheated you, do you have a right to hate him? Okay, Asa says yes. Someone has cheated you. Alright? Someone has abused you. Okay? You see, and that is really what I want us to do. You see, this thing, we are making it so academic. Okay? Darkness is there in the Bible. But in real life, we don't recognize darkness for what it is. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And because of it, we are not conditioned in our mind to recognize darkness and to resist it. And that is called wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's called wisdom. Yes. Wisdom is the grace from God to recognize darkness and reject it. That's my own definition of wisdom. That's good. That you might know how to choose the good and do what? Reject the darkness. He quoted the scripture, say, butter and honey shall he eat. That's Jesus Christ. That he might know how to resist the evil and choose the good. I should define the wisdom again. Okay? Alright, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Alright, now I have changed it in my own way to say, wisdom means being able to discern what is evil, and then to have the power to reject it. Amen. Now, Paul said, the things I don't want to do are the things I find that I do. And the things I want to do are the things that I cannot do. You say, oh, wretched man that I am. We are no longer going to be wretched.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to be strong men. He said, I, wisdom, I have strength. Wisdom gives you strength to discern righteousness and to discern unrighteousness and to reject that which is wrong. Amen. But my problem is that I find that within me, I do not even have the capacity. That is, my mind is not set to reject what is evil. Amen. I am not prepared for it. So, after the conference, tomorrow, you are going to leave here. And you are going to meet a world of evil. Amen. And that evil is going to be attacking your mind. How are you going to overcome it? You say, wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. Why wisdom is principal? Because wisdom is that which gives the soul the ability to overcome darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, a man who is not wise is what? What's the opposite of wisdom? Foolish or simple? The Bible says he's a young man. He's not matured. Okay? So Proverbs says, I looked out of my window. I saw a young man. Void of understanding. That means he doesn't have understanding. Alright? What did he do? He began to walk by the house of the strange woman. Alright? And the Bible says, in the twilight, one level. In the black and dark night. So the darkness was increasing. Alright? So when you say a little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. And Brother Bere said last night, you are checking your email. Abuja girls comes up. Or Port Harcourt young girls come up. Then you click on it. That's the twilight zone. You are in the twilight zone. Then you click and you see some photographs. Say yes. You click another one, you become the black night. You click again, you become the black and dark night. You are finished. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Oh yes. So for you to overcome that, you need wisdom. Amen. Wisdom to rebuke the evil from afar. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. Amen. Fear of the Lord is not going to church. It's a spirit. Amen. You find it in Isaiah 11. It says there are seven spirits from the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Amen. You find it when you come into the holy place. That's where you find it. In the holy place, there are seven lamps of fire burning. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the what? Is the lamp of the Lord. Giving light, enlightening, quickening. All the natures of the soul. Amen. Amen. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to open the eyes of the understanding. Amen. So that the soul can be able to discern darkness. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I will go over it again. I'll go over it again. Amen. Are you tired? It's just after 12 o'clock. Are you tired? Okay, somebody is tired. Well, we're not living here till 2 o'clock, so. Okay, amen. So let's take it again. Let's take it again. But we're in verse 18. It says, having the understanding darkened. So darkness came into the understanding. Darkness came into the mind. So this mind now had a dark spot. This was what happened to Eve. So this is the mind of Eve, Adam and Eve. Darkness came into their mind. Amen.
Amen.
Then when the darkness came into the mind, it went on break. It said, now I have arrived. Okay? I have reached my final destination. Okay, I don't want anything more. Is that what happened? A little leaven leavens the whole. The darkness began to multiply within the mind of man. In fact, actually, it was the mind that began to multiply the darkness. If you agree, say praise the Lord. Darkness came into the mind of man, and the mind of man began to multiply the darkness in it. Why? Because the mind is like a womb. Amen.
Amen.
That's why he says, you know, the soul is like a woman. That's why you are the bride of Christ. Okay? So the devil needed darkness to do what he wanted to do. So he had to get the darkness where he wanted, and that was right in the mind, in the understanding. Now, the reason is that the mind is actually that which feeds the emotions, the desires, and the will. They receive their energy from the mind. The mind is that which feeds the other parts of the soul. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. You know, in medicine, we have what we call psychosomatic diseases. That means the man is sick in his mind. It affects his emotions. It affects his desires. He's depressed. Alright? And it begins to affect his body also. Alright? And the Bible says, a merry heart brings life to the bones. Is it not so? Amen. Hallelujah. So, this darkness began to multiply. The darkness began to multiply. And I told Brother Bot that that is the time. It's a clock that began to run. Amen. It's a clock that began to run. Amen. Because see, God wanted the darkness in the mind. Okay, this one may be too high for you now. If it's too high, don't worry about it. The older ones will understand what I mean. God wanted the darkness in the mind. If you notice what has been happening, darkness was outside the tabernacle, right? So God brought it. God allowed it to come into the tabernacle. It's now smaller. Alright? And this darkness, you know, God wanted to destroy the darkness. But you see, he had to have darkness in a controlled environment. And God had to allow the darkness to come to the full. Amen. Because he told Abraham, I'm blessing you now, but you have to wait. Because the cup of the Amorites has not yet come to the full. It will take 400 years. Four is the number of tribulation. Say amen. I don't agree with me. Four is the number of tribulation. God says, this cup of the Amorites has to increase. By the way, God gave us the land of the Amorites. He said, I'm not going to give you the land of Moab. I will not. Yeah, God said, I will not give you the land of Moab. Land. I will not give you Edom, but I'm going to give you the land of the Amorites, because he promised him. By the way, Amorite means the mind. The Amorite in the Bible speaks of the mind. Don't look so lost. Say praise the Lord. Why should you be lost? Hallelujah. Amen. Your Bible is written in symbols. I mean, why is God telling you about the Amorites? Will their name become Amorite? Huh? What is your business with the Amorite? It's history. Belema, is God teaching you history? He's not teaching you. He's telling you how to overcome. So the Amorites are always dwelling on the mountain. They dwell in the high, high places. Amen. And the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Knowledge is in the mind. Amen. God is giving us the Amorites. God is giving us our mind. He says, I want you to reclaim your mind. How many people want to restore their minds? Hallelujah. That's what we are learning today. How to recover the mind. How can you recover what you do not know? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the mind is a high place. And that's where the devil went to say, I want that high place. I will dwell there. Amen. I will use it to fight God. Say, I also will be like God. Don't you know? God made the mind as his dwelling place. He said, I, the Lord, have chosen Zion as my dwelling place forever. You see that eternity? That's Zion. Huh? That's Zion. This is Zion. And the Bible says we have come to Mount Zion. Right there. Amen. So if you want to be a partaker, you must do something about the mind. But you must know what you are fighting against, and it is darkness. So darkness went to the mind and began to multiply. So that brings a new element to it. So you're not just looking at darkness, you're looking at the effect of the darkness on the soul. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Darkness came into the soul and took the soul captivity. Amen. And the mind fell from the highly exalted place of the mind. Because he said, I dwell with him that is of a lowly mind. So Adam was walking with God in a very high realm. Okay, let's look at the scripture. It says, God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Amen. Which garden is that? Is it the natural garden? Hallelujah. He planted the mind eastward in Eden. That means God has a provision for the mind. God has a provision for the mind. Okay, let me ask you the question. When you ate breakfast this morning, who was eating the breakfast? When you ate breakfast, who was eating the breakfast? Who ate the breakfast this morning? I ate the breakfast. Who is the I that ate the breakfast? Next time you want to drink Coke, ask yourself, who is drinking this Coke now? Who is drinking the Coke? Now, imagine yourself a son of God dwelling in the high place with God. Now, why are you drinking the Coke? You want to be happy, right? Is that not why you want to be drinking the Coke? Don't you enjoy the Coke? The happy feeling of Coke. When you want to feel good, you go and drink Coke. How are the mighty falling? If you want to be happy, what do you do? You open your mind to God. Hallelujah. And he says there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So next time you want to be glad, just open your mind. He says, swing wide, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. And you will be glad. And you don't need to drink Coke anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about it. You take a couple of green things and you put it in your mouth and you feel happy. You put some vegetables in your mind and you feel happy. Oh, I'm eating vegetables. I'm eating broccoli. I'm eating this. Okay, she's saving life. Amen. Hallelujah. Zion is arising. Amen. The days of the first Adam are over. There's a new Adam coming. Amen. We are realizing we don't need Coke to make us happy. By the way, you don't need sex to make you happy. Hallelujah. Because in the resurrection, what happens? You shall be like the angels. You don't need marriage. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you understand what God is saying? Those who are struggling, you are struggling with issues. The problem is you have not defined yourself. Define yourself. Amen. When you define yourself, you see that all those barriers will be broken.
Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need a girlfriend to be happy. You don't need a young man to call you by 12 midnight and you do midnight call to be happy. Amen. If you agree with me, say praise the Lord. Amen. Because are you not resurrecting? Udo, are you not resurrecting? Yeah. In the resurrection, you do not need all those things. Oh, I can't remember. Hallelujah. Because you get your joy direct from God. And he says, the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. Amen. I said, the young men are strong. Hallelujah. So that means the young men will be permanently plugged. Remember the brother saw that man. He took the plug out of the ground. Vanity of the mind. Plugged it up. I had the mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Okay, I didn't finish Isaiah, but I'm moving on to Romans. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 8 talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. So, lest you think I'm teaching you psychology. It's not psychology. We are in Paulology. Amen. We are studying Paul. Paulology. Amen. Verse 5. So, let's read. Saying, for they that are after, or who are ruled by the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are ruled by the Spirit, do mind the things of the Spirit. He said, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Amen. Okay, I don't have any more space on the board. So this is the mind. We know the mind is part of the soul. Okay, so this is the mind. This is the emotion, this is the desire, this is the will. So this is the four part of the soul. But we're picking on the mind because the mind is the chief part. So he's talking about the spirit and he's talking about the body. So what determines what makes you walk in the flesh is the mind. Amen. What makes you walk in the flesh is what? The mind. And remember, the mind has one nature, one quality. It can rise to the heavens because it says, my thoughts are different from your thoughts. When you come into a camp meeting like this, or when you come into a fellowship like this, and if you are smart, you say, anytime I'm reading my Bible, my mind begins to rise. Say amen.
Amen.
When you read your Bible, you're not doing anybody a favor. You are trying to get to the place God wants you to get to. Alright? Now, when you are not reading your Bible, what happens to the mind? It falls. It falls. So if you are smart, I will read my Bible all the time. So that my mind will remain in a high place with God. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Very good. Okay. So he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's, is in warfare against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. That, but there is something I want to bring up before we go on. Can we go to Psalm 1? Put Psalm 1. Let's look at something. Psalm 1. Okay, good. Now, we are looking for solutions. Because we are looking at what, how can you maintain the victory you have got? You've been here for how many days now? Have you obtained victory? If you have obtained victory, say, praise the Lord. How will you keep it? That's why we're here this morning. Now, look at how you keep it. Alright? It says, blessed. You see, any place you see mind, man, change it and put mind. Hallelujah. Any place you see man, change it, put your name. And that is your mind. Blessed is the mind that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel is thought. Are we agreed? Good. Blessed is the mind that does not walk or is not influenced by the thoughts of the Gentiles, of Egypt, of the world. Amen. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor seated. So you see the process: walking, standing, sitting. So you are getting more and more established. Amen. But his what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is that really true? His delight. Amen. So if I want to be happy, I don't go and watch a movie. If you agree, raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Don't raise it if you don't agree. Amen. This is the new way of living. It says, I'm not the old man that I used to be. That was singing. Now you are in the activity. Amen. I'm not the old man that I used to be. The old man wants to be happy. What does he do? He goes to 3D. The old man goes to 3D and watches Dark Knight arise. How many people have watched Dark Knight Arising? Okay, raise the hand in your heart. You watch Dark Knight Arises. Or what's that other one, that new one that came out? The Kingdom of the Apes. Sorry, I've not watched it. I see the names. I watch the names. I've not watched it. Believe your brother, I've not watched it. Amen. I don't need it by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So if you are going to overcome, make a decision today. Amen. That this will be your lifestyle. Amen. You will meditate on the scriptures day and night. Amen. Hallelujah. You can join the Daniel Company. Do you know the Daniel Company? Three times in a day, he will open the window. But now we're going to open a different window, the windows of our mind. Hallelujah. You open the window and you face the east. The east means the mind of God. Hallelujah. He says, I will look unto the hills. From whence cometh my help?
My help cometh from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. So, no breakfast until you open the window. Agreed? Ah, you don't want to agree. They have rejected me. Why are you rejecting me? I said, no breakfast until you open the window. Amen. Then no lunch until you open the window. And no dinner until you open the window. How many people want to join in that lifestyle? Eh? Okay, so let's practice it. Amen. Let it be our lifestyle. Before you eat that Eba, say, no, Eba, wait. I want to go open the window. Amen. But you can do better. Every day, pick one verse of scripture to meditate upon. Amen. So, when you are starting to be difficult, you might forget. Go back and start again. But after some time, it becomes a habit that you're always meditating in the scripture. By the way, who needs the lunch? It's the mind, yes, the body. The flesh needs it, but the mind also enjoys it. Amen. And most of the time, we actually eat not because our body wants it, we eat because we enjoy it. We like the appetite, we like the sweetness of the food, and we overeat. Even when the body doesn't need the food, we still eat. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just trying to encourage us to do something about the mind. If you want the mind to rise and remain there, then give it what it wants, the word of God. Amen. Now let's see the other scripture, Joshua 1, Joshua chapter 1, amen, okay, verse 7. Okay, go up a bit. There's a scripture I was sharing with the brethren, and this is the current word. This is what God is saying now. If somebody asks you, what is God saying now? This is it. Verse 2. Joshua 1:2 is what God is saying to every man. Now, in the time of Ebola, this is what God is saying. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Amen. It's a time to arise and go over Jordan. Jordan is darkness. Alright, God is saying, arise. If you want to overcome, you must rise in your mind. Amen. How do you make your mind to rise? That's what we are. Verse 7. Say, only be thou strong and very courageous. The devil is going to fight you. When you want to save the mind, he will fight you. Amen. He will get things to disturb you, distract you, do all kinds. Somebody will tell lies against you. Your mind will start swelling, you know. But you must be focused. Amen. That's why I told you, you must be strong and be very courageous. That mayest observe to do. According to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right, turn not to the left. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. See, this book of the law shall not depart out of. Okay. How many people have the book of the law? Can I see your Bibles? Bring your Bible and wave it. Alright. This book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. Put it in your mouth. This book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. Is that what it is saying? Which mouth is this now? Which mouth is this? Eh? Ah, there is a mouth in the mind. Really? Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, the mind eats. Amen. So when Isaiah was caught up, say, I also saw the Lord. Amen.
He said, I am a man of unclean lips. The lips is the lips of the mind. And many of us, our lips are very polluted. Yesterday we made it clean, is it not? How many people made their minds clean yesterday night? Now you must keep it clean. By doing what? Eating the word of God. Amen. I've got my mind made up. Are you afraid? Sing the song. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. I was gonna like Jesus someday. Goodbye, internet. Goodbye, Twitter, Facebook. I made up my mind to go God's way. That's all I love. I made up my mind to go God's way. That's all my life. Amen. Oh yeah, go and make it a reality. Amen. That's the only way to clean the mind. Amen. Hallelujah. This book of the Lord must not depart out of thy mind. Amen. But let me tell you a secret. Do you know the difference between a living soul and a spiritual soul is the mind. A living soul feeds the soul by emotions, by desires. It's fallen. The mind has fallen. The mind cannot rise to the heights of God. So the only way to bring energy to the soul is through the emotions and desires. Amen. And in the Bible represents the emotion by a crawling, creeping nature. Amen. That is the desire. The desire is the lowest part of man. And God says, I give you authority over the creeping things. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people want a lizard to feed you? Yes! You say, okay, lizard, come and bring my food to me. But that's what we are doing. We are feeding from the earthly, carnal, dirty, unclean things. Amen! But I say, God, let the birds of God feed me. Amen. Let the mind of God feed me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we must make up our mind. Alright? That the mind will feed. So, the spiritual mind is fed by the mind of Christ. That's the difference between a soulish person and a spiritual person. Jesus told them, my meat is to do what? Is to do the will of God and to finish it. They brought food to him. Say, eat. He said, no. I have meat to eat that you are not aware of. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was a man like us. Amen. Is that true?
Yes.
Say, it was like you and I. Amen. If the same spirit that was in who? That was in Jesus dwell in us. Because we are partakers of the bride of the body of Christ. Amen. We are partakers of Christ. That same spirit will quicken our mortal body. There is hope for everyone that is fighting besetting sin. Amen. There is hope for all those who are fighting that weight. You are carrying a load weight. Amen. Hallelujah. You can overcome. We are overcoming. Amen. Hallelujah. That strong man, God is breaking it. And he's setting the captives free. Amen. Hallelujah. The mind is being set free. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at the third scripture. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Amen. Verse 18. Proverbs is very important. No, go to 20. Say, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. I've explained that before. Thy father's commandment is the word of God. The law of the mother is the testimony of the church. That is books, messages, the things that have come from the church, experiences of men who have gone in the old. You read biographies. How many of you have read biography of William Tyndale, for instance, of Martin Luther? Okay, all those men who have fought. How many of you have read the life of Samuel Ajay Crowder? He was a righteous man. Okay? So, those righteous men, read their lifestyle. See how they laid down their lives. Okay? Keep your mind. Let it. Okay? There's a man called Eric Liddle. Alright? He was an Olympic champion, is it not? Huh? But because of Christ, he refused to disobey God. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, even in our day, there are men who are obeying God. That is the law of their mother. I say, give attention to it. Now, look at 21. It says, bind them continually upon thy heart. How do you bind something in your heart? Okay, how many people have a rope? Now, start binding your heart with a rope. You can't do that. Alright? But he's talking about the spiritual heart. Okay, says, tie them about thy neck. The mind is the neck of the soul. That's what controls the soul. This physical neck controls the body and connects the head to the rest of the body. Alright? But the mind connects, you can see the mind. The mind connects all the other parts of the soul to the spirit, to the realm of the spirit. So the mind is the most important point. It's the neck. Amen. So it says, tie it about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Amen. You shall not be afraid of accident, motor accident. You cannot have accident. Hallelujah. Or Ebola cannot come near you. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is a glory of God around you. It says, when thou goest, it shall lead you. Amen. When thou sleepest, he shall keep thee. Amen. When thou awakest, it will talk with you. Hallelujah. That's when you wake up, the word of God will come to you. Like Sister Nancy wakes up with a song, as she begins to sing, the word of the Lord comes to her. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Many of us are wondering, somebody says, God spoke. He says, how did God speak to him? Because your mind is so far away from God. How can God speak to you? Actually, God is speaking to you, but you are not hearing. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Some of you also want to get married. Lord, who shall I marry? Oh my God, I've been praying for 1 year now. The Lord has not spoken to me. No. God spoke to you the first day. Started praying, just that you are not hearing. Amen. I didn't get any amen in response. Hallelujah. God is always talking. If you hear him. Amen. So if the word is constantly over you in your heavens, it will speak to you. Amen. You will hear a voice say, this is the way. Walk here in it. Amen. You will hear another voice say, that is not the way. Don't walk in it. Amen. Say, that man, that brother is going to be an armed robber. Don't follow him. Amen. So, no, I like him. Don't like him, I follow him. Oh. Hallelujah. Or that sister. See how she's dancing, goodbye world. Is that true? Eh? Others are dying goodbye while you are looking for who you are goodbye. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, to keep thee from the evil woman. That is a spirit. The spirit of deception. That's what he means by evil woman. Amen. Say, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. You know, lust is very sweet. Amen. When you want to get angry, you know, I used to get a very feel good when I get angry. In those days. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Let thy letter take thee, and then it goes on and on and on. So, brethren, we have to recognize darkness. And the darkness is working in the mind. So, we have seen darkness in the mind. We have seen the effect of darkness in the mind. And we have also seen how to overcome it. Amen. So, when you want to overcome, your nature must be changed. Amen. The nature must be changed. The nature must be converted. Therefore, the Bible says the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. Some people say, oh, I want to change. Good. Rabbi told us about that. If you really want to change, it won't stop here. This conference is just a platform to help you get a focus. If you want to change, this book of the law must not depart in your mouth. Because the entrance of the word, it bringeth light. Hallelujah. So that word is going to fight with the darkness. Amen. That's the only way to deal with it. You must send light into the soul. Amen. So the mind must receive light from the realm of the spirit. So the change in the mind depends on the amount of light that has come in. That's why the Bible says that when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, that when the last trumpet begins to sound, that we shall be changed. Amen. The seventh trumpet speaks of a certain quality of God's word that has high energy. Amen. When it goes into the soul, it begins to bring it. It begins to judge the darkness. Hallelujah. The Bible says it will be bitter in the belly, but sweet in the mouth. And there are many people who do not want that word that brings bitterness in the soul. Bitterness is of repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good word. Many people like the kingdom word. It's good. There's no pastor. Know this. Fine. But when the word begins to go into the belly, they rebel. Hallelujah. When they say no traditional marriage, say no. Why shouldn't I pay bride price? When they say no Christmas, say no. Why shouldn't I celebrate Christmas? When they say this one, you begin to rebel. Because the world begins to dodge the traditional things in our soul. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So if you want to change, the word of God must go right deep down into your soul. Amen. And the Bible says we must make our calling and election sure. I will not do it. That's what Bravot was telling us. You have a responsibility to bring the word into your soul. Amen. So after this conference, the wise virgins will go back to the messages. Play it over again. You begin to eat of it. Amen. You sleep with it. You wake up with it. Play it in your car. Put it on your ears. You're walking on the road. You play it. Think of it. Amen. You see that when you begin to do that, even the things that were not said, you will begin to hear. Amen. That is the way. to change. Amen. So, one day a message. Is that too much? One day, one message. Agreed? One day, one message. One day, one message. I call it the conference lifestyle. Do you know you can be in conference every day? Conference doesn't stop here, it continues. Amen. Everything you are doing here, when you go home, continue to do it. Hallelujah. And you will see, within 1 week, your life will change. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we are going to begin to close this message. I wanted to go further down, but I can't go very far. But I want you to know, because darkness is in the mind, creatures, spirits that feed on darkness are interested in the mind. Amen. So these spirits now come to the mind and they dwell there. Amen. So that is three levels now. One, darkness in the mind. Number two, effect of darkness on the mind. Number three, spirits that feed on darkness will begin to come. And that is what happened in Egypt. When there was a plague of flies, all the vultures came. Amen. He said, where the dead body is, what will happen? The vultures will gather. Amen. And the vulture feeds on that which is dead. Amen. Say amen. So the more unclean your thoughts are, the more unclean spirits come to you and dwell. Amen. So instead of being clothed with the garment of light, you'll be clothed with darkness, bad thoughts, unclean thoughts. Amen. You wear it as a cloth. Hallelujah. And you are no longer that beacon of light. Hallelujah. And then the fourth level is that it's not just you that has the darkness in your mind. It's not just the effect of darkness upon your mind. Or the spirits that are now dwelling and ruling the darkness in you. You also have the darkness in other people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are the four dimensions of darkness. And God has called the end time church to overcome darkness in the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. God has not called you and I to be members of a denomination called end time, or any other name you may wish to call it. Hallelujah. If you and I are just members of end time, they will have failed of the commission that God gave to us. But God forbid that we should fail. Amen. The amen is not very strong. Well, that is the Gideon's 300 that the brother was speaking of. Brother Paul told us about Gideon's 300. Where did God take them to? He took them to the waters. Amen. So God is selecting his 300. He's selecting those company of men whose vision will be to overcome. Amen. To overcome darkness. You first overcome the darkness in you, then you can help your brother overcome his own darkness. Amen. So when we come together for fellowship, it is to encourage ourselves to overcome darkness. Amen. And because it's a practical thing, after this conference, you will now have practicals. Practicals of overcoming darkness. Amen. It may come in various forms, but I think we have sufficiently taught you so you can recognize it. So you can ask God for wisdom. God, teach me how to discern darkness when it's coming. I end with one scripture, then we'll close. Proverbs 16. I close with this one. Amen. We have done very well. Amen. Say praise the Lord. You see, we are going before time. I already see you before time. All right, let's look at this one. Proverbs 16:32. why are you walking out? We said you shouldn't walk out when the message is going on. So go back and sit down. All right, read this one. Proverbs 16:32 is the litmus test of sons of God. This is where I come, once in a while I come here and measure myself to see how I'm doing in the sons of God scale. Amen. Okay, are we agreed? This is the scale for measuring sons of God. Hallelujah. He that is slow to anger is what? Better than the mighty. That means somebody who overcomes anger is a strong man. You need energy. Hallelujah. Okay, read the second one. And he that what? Ruleth his spirit, than he that taketh. So he's talking about emotions. Emotions and the desire. Now, the fallen man is ruled by his emotion and desire. The spiritual man is ruled by his mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's take that. The dead soul is ruled by emotion and the desire. And those two, they call passion. This is what they call passion. Passion is what? Emotion, desire. Do you know why the world is excited today? Because there are now very good ministers of passion. The ministers of passion have now become excellent. And you don't need to go out to Skylark Cinema. You can have the cinema right in your room, on your bed, in fact, on your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the world is excited. We have iPhone, 2 iPad, iKitchen, iFinger, iTablet. Which other one? iPhone. Which other one? iPod. Which other? Laptop. Galaxy. Internet. Which other? Samsung. Techno. All of them. The summary of all of them is what? Passion. That's why the whole world is excited now. And now, that's why the world has fallen so deeply now. Amen. That is the dead soul. The dead soul, it doesn't have any access to the garden of God, to the life of God. Look at it. This is the Holy Ghost. This is Christ the Son. This is the Father. The dead soul is cut off. You say your sin have made a barrier. Your sin have made a barrier. A man who cannot hear God talk to God, how else can he be happy if not from his flesh? And flesh is very easy. You sell your body, then you get life. Amen. Hallelujah. But sons of God do not feel that way. Amen. Sons of God open the window and the river flows in. Hallelujah. So you choose who you are going to be. Amen. Will it really be goodbye world? I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way. Amen. That God's way is to open the window. Amen. The window goes away, and then the life of God begins to flood the mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, we all with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Amen. are changed from glory to glory. Amen. So, the Bible says, as long as Moses is read, there's a veil over the mind. The natural man has a veil over his mind. There's a covering. Huh? And that's covering, but above and so does, is three levels. There's a covering of the country. There's a covering of the tribe. And then there is the covering of the family. Amen. Those are family things covering the mind. But when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. So don't let anybody tell you the veil cannot be taken away. It is because you have not turned to the Lord. Don't you see? You came here since Wednesday. Don't you see that your mind has changed? Hallelujah. If every day you turn your mind to the Lord, then every day you'll be rising. 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 And the more you rise, the more you forget the things on the earth. Amen. You'll be a visitor, no longer dweller on the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we all, with our open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed. So this should be a thermometer. Once in a while, come and measure yourself. You say, how much are you ruling over your passions? Amen. Say, the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God begins to come into the soul, it begins to change it. Amen. It begins to break down that influence of darkness. It begins to cut it short and break it. Amen. Okay, let's read the last one. Proverbs 25:32. The last. This is the last final. No more final. No, this is the last final. Proverbs. Proverbs 25:28 is the last. It's the last of the last of the last. Amen. Amen. Is anybody sleeping? Why should you sleep? Hallelujah. Okay, what does it say? He that has no rule over his emotions, over his desires, over his mind. Okay? It's like a city that is broken down without walls. Amen. So that Jerusalem shall be built up. A city that is built up with walls. Amen. Hallelujah. He said that the Assyrian will not be able to come in anymore. Hallelujah. So God is raising a city. Tell yourself, you don't think about it. The devil can drop a thought in your mind, but that thought should be cast out. Amen. A bird can fly over your head, but it must not perch. Hallelujah. Your mind is the king. If you win the mind, you win the devil. Amen. Say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.